Hi, everyone. For those of you that haven't met me before, my name is Catherine Boychuk, and I'm a member of the leadership team here at Maximus. Tonight, I'm joined with a few of my colleagues from the leadership team, and we're really here tonight to help you make the most of this next hour. I have to tell you all, today is my 1 month anniversary at Maximus. For the last 20 years, I've been working in the technology industry. And whilst I've had a team in 20 countries and we've all been used to working so far away from each other, I thought I was really ready to handle what this current challenge is facing us. But the reality is, you know, we weren't all sequestered in various stages of lockdown and having to juggle work and having to parent our children at the same time. However, there are four kind of key things I've been focusing on in order to be successful over the last 4 weeks, and I thought they might be helpful to share with you tonight. The first is that you can create deep and personal relationships with people and clients really quickly. You can leverage the best of technology. A virtual coffee is just as good, if not better, than a face-to-face coffee. You don't lose time in transit, and you don't have to wait to place your order with the barista. The second thing I've done is I've really taken my time to scan the environment. I've had a look at our systems and our processes, but also the way our team has been working here at Maximus. Then overlaid that against our strategy to find out where the opportunities are. I've been really conscious to be purposeful so that when I'm contributing, that I'm maximizing the impact I'm having. You know, my special skill is a bit of technology and growth mindset. And so I'm making sure that I only contribute where I think it makes sense and allows us to make meaningful progress forward. And finally, leadership mindset. How you bring yourself to work really shapes how you're contributing to your team and your clients. And at the moment, when you're leading through disruption, you can kind of have the sense that you want to rise to the occasion or you want to hide. You're not really quite sure what leadership mindset you should be wearing as we roll into the screen to work. To get to work each day. For me, taking on that growth mindset with a sprinkling of technology has really allowed me not to have to sit back and wait and kind of follow instructions, but it's allowed me to lean in and create opportunities that have allowed us to move forward and make meaningful progress. So being clear on mindset, I think, is a really helpful way. And for me, I know it's been critical and it's helped me feel like things are not really hard. And instead, they feel really energizing.
So I really believe that our most difficult challenges are the things that also give us the greatest growth. And when I think back to some of my most challenging times, one of the key times was a pivotal moment for me as an entrepreneur when I started Maximus. And what you may not know is I originally planned to open Maximus in the September of 2011. And so by August, I was fully committed. I'd hired a team, I'd hired offices, I'd left a great job, and I was all ready to go. And that morning that I was sitting there watching the Twin Towers implode, I felt like my world had been ripped out before me, and I was devastated. I was devastated about what I was seeing in the world, and I was devastated about what that meant for all my hopes and dreams at the time. But that became one of my biggest lessons in leadership. Before I had even started, I got my first lesson, and that was, once you're committed, once you're really committed, it's yours to make good. And it doesn't matter how you feel about it, despite where you're at and how you feel about it, you have the responsibility to steer the ship and find the path of opportunity for the people around you. So obviously within a few months, things changed and evolved and we pivoted. And our first 3 years, we grew year on year, we doubled our growth. So I'm not sharing this as a growth story as such or a success, but rather to illustrate the choice that you have ahead of you right now as leaders. And it's a really important choice. You can either focus your mind on the opportunity or you can focus on the loss. And we're all going to lose something in this, but each one of us will also have an opportunity as well. So we can either lean into that opportunity or we can lean away from it. And so my experience was after that very first time of leaning in, there just wasn't another option for me in how that operated in every option moving forward. So I don't feel like I've got the option to do anything else anymore. So these times aren't easy. I know that. And I've personally found it valuable just to try and get some framing around them. And I just want to capture in my mind the way we're thinking about the framing So obviously we've had that first 4 weeks where it was really just managing through the crisis and we were really responding. And many of us will be right now pivoting into what we're calling the adaptation phase or the new normal. And in this phase, it's really important to establish what that is for our own businesses. And the timeframes are just indicative. It will be different for every business and every one of us, but the phases should be pretty consistent. And then obviously we'll get to that phase where we're reimagining and we're taking our business through the recovery to the other side. So what's really important as we go into this new normal is thinking about how we sow the seeds for how we're going to set up for the reimagined state. And this is the opportunity that's right there for us all now. To be able to do this, we need to make a mental shift in our own minds. And we need to shift out of dealing with the crisis and pivot into focusing on the opportunity ahead. And I know it sounds easy, but if your experience has been anything like mine, there's days when I find I'm tipping into both sides. And so it's really about holding that view firm and saying, no, I actually really need to get my head into the right space for the way I move forward. So this afternoon, we'll spend some time looking at how we reimagine. And again, I think this brings a different challenge. In a business as usual context, when we think about innovation, we often think about optimizing the core, exploring and experimenting and expanding into the adjacencies and having the breakthroughs in that last 10%. What's really unique about this situation is in business as usual, we're putting the effort into the last 30%. And optimizing the core is code for don't disrupt normal quite often. Tweak it, but don't mess with it too much because you don't want to disrupt where your core business is coming from. In this environment, that core business is being, for many of us, disrupted anyway. So it brings a new opportunity to really think about the core differently. So I want you to think about your own organizations and think about what's happening across this portfolio, what you're experimenting in, what your plays are in the adjacencies. And I really urge you to take a really hard look at that 70% and ask yourself the question, is it time to think and act differently? Does this pose an opportunity for me to look across that portfolio, find the bright spots and shape a vision to help my organization move to the reimagined state?
So this time last week, I made the comment that we're seeing cracks in leadership teams. And as Vanessa said, many of those cracks are still testing us. But we have seen this shift. And I've actually had conversations with a few of you around this shift, this emergence of bright spots and the opportunities that organizations are using to pivot, innovate, and even sometimes transform. I was thinking about it today and doing some research and came across the World Health Organization report that was released just yesterday. And the report just really outlined some really simple and amazing innovations that are coming through. Everything from hands-free door openers that you can actually print simply on a 3D printer. There was an amazing wristband that would buzz if you were tempted to touch your face. And I think one of the ones that I've found most inspiring is the collaboration between government and corporate. So the one that we evidenced in our local market between Atlassian, Facebook and the Australian government to build that COVID live stream on WhatsApp that's really helpful. So I wanted to pose to you, what are you seeing that's inspiring? What's inspiring you as far as bright spots in the market? Things that you're seeing that are either organizational or individuals that are really leaning in and using this as an opportunity?
I heard of one just earlier today, actually, in reaching out to a partner to see what they were doing. And I kind of touched upon this, I think, earlier on in the week around looking beyond your current business into the areas of the community who are most vulnerable and kind of can be best served. And so this partner has brought together a number of tech companies and third-party companies to basically have almost a hackathon or kind of a group approach to coming up with simple solutions to COVID-19 related issues. But they've really targeted students and they're encouraging students to band together to come up with some simple relevant ideas. And then they've got a judging panel and then they've got some simple prizes that they're offering. So that was, I thought, a really interesting, innovative way to kind of harness some of the creativity of the younger minds, take a different fresh approach to it that was able to be put in place pretty quickly and is now running in the second round of that.
So things around really bespoke personally designed services around fitness, around health and well-being, around beauticians and hair and things like that, all sorts of little micro innovations happening. the last two or three days, almost every VC that I've started with a woman has had some sort of like how they've hacked their beauty regime and how their personal professional people have been supporting them to do that. So that's been both a source of connection and also interesting sudden innovations in areas that have been very traditional for a very long time.
Yeah, I think at the other end of the spectrum, I mean, the bright spot for me is that it's forced people to come to terms with uncertainty. And if you're in a line of work where you are able to help people with frameworks to deal with uncertainty, like Maximus in this case, but in our case, in terms of planning and building cities, there are lots of opportunities and people realising that they need to come to terms with that uncertainty and stopping and asking questions. And I think that's driving a kind of a fundamental mind shift. It's really interesting. And it's interesting at how broadly it applies across the different scales of that we all live and work.
I can share. The story was of a nine-year-old child, I think, who had actually invented solution to put on people where that were wearing the ventilator mask to stop it from cutting into the skin. I think, again, like for a nine-year-old to be innovating right now is amazing.
So if we think about these bright spots and think about the common principles that are bringing those things together, what we've done at Maximus is really think about those principles that are driving organisations and individuals to create these bright spots. And we've shared these principles here. And I won't go through them in detail, but there's definitely things in here that you're seeing that are driven from an organisational purpose. So the organisations that have done work on, you know, why they exist or what the job to be done or that their organisation solves. Matt, I think the second one links to being able to be constantly creating context and clarity when things are really uncertain. I think that's what you alluded to, is individuals and organisations that are able to do that are really turning their heads towards the opportunity. Vanessa mentioned the ideation and experimentation, and I think the bravery to actually ideate and experiment in that core, in that 70% of your business, it usually remains fairly untouched. The fourth one is about our ability as organisations, individuals and leaders to really do the outside-in thinking and lift our heads and actually look outside of what's going on and have that deep curiosity to look at other markets, other organisations. But the last one is really interesting. It's this ability to lift capability. So I know I've had a couple of conversations this week, not only looking at organisational capability, but individual capability. And the conversations have been around capability strengths to be leveraged inside organisations, but also the ability to really stretch and grow new capabilities in organisations. And as we know, through our 18 years of experience, it's bloody hard work to grow capability. And I think that that's the real opportunity, is to take a really good look at your organisations and say, what exists in there that's maybe untapped, underutilised, that you can really stretch and grow.
In our organisation, I mean, we're a bunch of technocrats and we're at risk always of waiting to be perfect before we mobilise anything. And it's been interesting to see when the opportunities to kind of pause and wait to be perfect the whole time are removed, and we've kind of had our hand forced to act a little bit more imperfectly, how much richer the kind of learning experience for these through these kind of forums are. And by learning experience, I mean really, you know, the grassroots war story kind of connection, shared experience, learning experiences, which I think certainly for our organisation are the most important lessons, particularly as we all work remotely. So, yeah, I did kind of boldly hazard a guess that I think that this will be actually prove to be transformational in terms of our culture and not waiting to be perfect the whole time just to present something.
This is definitely testing all of us in our thoughts and images of perfection.
There's a subset of people that are seeing the opportunity in the next stage to this of the new normal, but there's certainly a large part of the organisation that still is waiting for us to get back to normal. And recognising too that in the healthcare industry, consumer, you know, a lot of what we do when we've been needing to respond to this situation the last couple of weeks, but certainly we still need to go through a bit of a shift in helping people reimagine what the new normal is.
It's really testing our identities. So identities as organisations and identities as individuals. And I read this great article around the identity mind trap of wanting to stay the same and all the stories that we've told ourselves about ourselves and all the stories in our organisations about our organisations as well.
We're a multidisciplinary organisation, and so it's been interesting watching people revert to their professional strengths in some cases, and so they view this moment through their professional lens, and that they've got their own behaviour, but they've also got the way in which they've been trained, and the professional kinds of things that they look at has impacted the way that people have been able to respond to this moment. So that's been just an interesting, almost sociological view of looking around the organisation and how people look at things. But also it's been interesting that the way in which people respond either with an instinct to reinforce the core and to really shore up the core of what's happening now and to try and have that diluted as little as possible hasn't necessarily aligned with people's role within the hierarchy of the organisation. So there's people who are embracing the moment and leaping to the transformational way of thinking about things at all levels within the organisation and not necessarily in a predictable pattern. So it's been a little bit of a diagnostic in some ways about which parts of the organisation are more ready to jump to the transformational opportunities and have been more agile and has brought out some of those latent potentials that may not have been so visible beforehand.
By far the biggest issue with reimagining is the fact that we get in our own way. And we've just heard a few examples of that. So things like our own fear of failure, the safekeeping behaviour. So that's where we've heard about things like reinforcing history, holding on to history. Also things like self-reliance, self-preservation when things are coming at us thick and fast. We all have something that gets in the way. And I think none of us are immune to that. And we have to realize that. And I think in the roles that we have, one of the benefits that we have is we're in a position where we get a lot of exposure. And I think it's important to recognize where others don't get the same kind of exposure that we get, how do we help them through those things that actually get in the way for them? But before we can help others, we actually have to help ourselves. So it's kind of that concept of put your own life jacket on first and then look after everybody else, right? As I said before, for the last 4 weeks, we have literally been battening down the hatches, dealing with new information that is coming through on a daily basis and operating in that crisis mode. And the challenge is, without realizing it, we can psychologically get stuck in that way of operating. So we actually have to make a conscious choice to come out of that. And we need to personally ignite a shift for ourselves to move out of that. So a shift towards the new normal and ultimately then a shift again towards recovery. And you have to do that shift within yourself in order to be able to help that shift in other people. So a couple of things, there's three things I just wanted to leave you to think about in terms of that shift and enabling that shift for yourself. The first one is a shift in terms of how clear your mind is. In the group that I was just in, we talked about the pace that we're operating at and that cadence is here to stay. So within that cadence, what's your operating rhythm to make sure that you get the kind of perspective that you need to be able to land those 4 or 5 big opportunities for the reimagined state, because they have to be front and center, really clear in your mind. Second thing is how you shift your mental state from a position of coping and responding to a position of optimism with realism within it and can do and a progression focus. And the third thing that I think is a key enabler as you move into this next phase or state is the way you think about your time and your energy. And I know for myself, I found over the last 4 weeks, one of the challenges with energy is you can get into a negative energy, not being negative, but reacting from a point of a burning platform. There's something going on here that is a real challenge and we have to deal with the burning platform. And it takes you away from thinking about the burning aspiration, which might be the normal way that you operate. I think being clear in terms of your mind of the energy that you're coming from and what kind of energy you're bringing to the organisation and therefore where you put your time and what you put your time to. So just three things: how clear your mind is, how you shift your mental state, and the way you focus your time and energy, I think can be some easy things that enable that shift and pivot into the new normal. And once you've got your life jacket on, you've got to be able to do that for your people, because they're going to need it more than you do because they don't have the same kind of exposure that you have. I want you to get a little bit of clarity just in terms of what's holding you back. What do you think might be holding you back from shifting to the new state, if anything?
I know I need to consciously come to each day with a mindset of what am I not taking in and taking on? So that habit of getting up, reading the papers, understanding what's going on. I'm very conscious at the moment that I actually can't take on, you know, the quite disturbing global trend, the count, the toll, et cetera, et cetera. It's a conscious thing that I actually don't go there each day.
I think it's good to acknowledge the blend of personal and work life. They're completely integrated right now. So if those things inject energy into your world, they're important to still do. And obviously connection. I watched something this morning and it was talking about different ways of dealing with the resilience through this and how important not being extremely self-focused is, but actually the concept of gifting and giving to others and the value of connection being, you know, potentially even greater than some of the different mindfulness things that we can be doing for ourselves in helping with resilience. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, probably the biggest thing for me, Vanessa, is a feeling of dislocation from this agile working environment and making sure that what I do communicate resonates and therefore what is my audience feeling in terms of those that I'm speaking with. And I think that's one of the things that's possibly holding me back in some of the things that I do is just not having, well, there'll never be perfect information, but just an understanding of what our broader teams are doing, which I know the obvious answer is just to lean into that and work through it. But sometimes there's a hesitance when you get to that moment.
And just also recognising that they need the informal time as well as the formal time with you. It was the simplest thing, but my daughter had breakfast with her classroom and was just, you know, on cloud nine all day because they had breakfast together. And it's the simplest thing, but that idea of, you know, humans need connection and it can't all be all in all the time on work.
Yeah, look, I would agree, Vanessa. And one of the things that I'm finding immensely valuable, I've set up random coffees with groups of five or six staff across the organisation. We started last week, so there's been about four or five so far. And just connecting with those 30 or 40 people that I may not normally meet with, I think I find it far more valuable than they do because it gives me a sense of what's going on beyond the numbers and what else is happening. So it's an opportunity to be boundaryless and connect people from different offices, from different teams that we wouldn't otherwise have a chance to connect. But just hearing that kind of the sense of what's going on is immensely valuable.
I just wanted to share something that might be of use. Today, one of our very generous colleagues put together a set of bingo cards. So we played virtual bingo and we had to come at our 10:30 gathering because it's before Easter with bunny ears and we could do whatever we wanted. So some, you know, some did this, others did toilet rolls, you know, whatever. But we played bingo. It only took, you know, 10, 15 minutes, but it was a fantastic way to connect. So if anyone wants me to share those bingo cards, more than happy to.
So I just wanted to say on a personal note, yesterday I gave myself a real talking to and gave myself 24 hours to get my mind right, to go into the weekend, spend some good time with my family and come back really reinvigorated to be much more future and opportunity focused on the other side of Easter. And I'm just going to leave you with just a parting thought from one of my favourites, Walt Whitman. Keep your face always towards the sunshine and the shadows will fall behind you.